Hello and a warm welcome to The Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show. Bruce Millington is taking a well-earned rest this week, so Jack Reeve returns alongside Steve Palmer to guide you through proceedings. A busy one today, four tournaments to review and three to preview. Let's get straight into it. Steve, how's things? Great to see you again.
Yes, good, mate. Yeah, I've never seen Bruce wearing a shirt as good as that. So, I'm honoured to be on with someone wearing such a good shirt. Spectacular.
Thank you. Yeah, that's very kind of you. How's morale at the moment? Because it feels as if there's been a few kind of gut punches in recent weeks.
Yeah, getting used to the near misses now. Yeah, getting used to being teased on the final day and then ending the day quaffing Heineken. So, yes. Yeah. I'm hoping Lady Luck's going to come back on my shoulder because she's not treating me well at the moment. But this is the game we're in, peaks and troughs, and it just makes the reward all the sweeter when it does come. So, I'm confident something good's going to happen very soon.
Good. I like it. And we must get a bit of admin out of the way early on. If you do see Steve pick his glass of drink up within the show, he's not drinking said European lager. What have you got there, Steve? It's not Barocca this week, is it?
I've got some sort of fizz sticks. Yeah. I've got these new things called fizz sticks where you sprinkle the powder in there and then it gives you an amazing burst of energy. So, just mixing it in now. And I should be absolutely buzzing for this entire broadcast.
Good. Well, have a sip of that and we'll get on to reviewing last week's tournaments. Let's start with the Kazoo Classic, the well-named Kazoo Classic, where Richie Ramsey was the eventual winner. We've seen some brilliant sort of 18th-hole celebrations this season. I think Hao Tong Lee still tops the chart with his just ridiculous scenes a few weeks ago. But it was a clutch sort of 8-foot putt on the last for Richie Ramsey's first win in a long while, Steve.
Yeah, he held his nerve really well on the 18th green, didn't he? Because I wonder whether he wanted it too much. There was a lot of talk about doing it for his daughter, weren't they? Mm. His daughter had never seen him win a trophy. He said, I'm going to bring a trophy home one day. And with an 8-footer on the last there, I thought, oh my God, he's going to get the wobbles. But no, fantastic effort. The only downer was how bad the trophy was, wasn't it? I mean, I expect little Olivia was expecting some big FA Cup trophy and it looked like a dinner plate, didn't it? So he's gonna have to win a proper trophy now rather than a dinner plate. But apart from that, it was wonderful scenes. And you're right, the DP World Tour is under pressure, but yeah, you're getting the best celebrations on the DP World Tour at the moment, aren't you? You know, still got a role to play. I mean, that meant a lot to Richie Ramsey. You know, Hao Tong Lee couldn't contain himself either. So, I'm hoping we can continue with all three tours. We may have to accept it's a three-tour world now. And the DP World Tour is thriving.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I may not be moving with the times and somewhat of a purist, but the DP World Tour, the European Tour, as I'm still calling it, is still very much my favourite. Good scenes in the Senior Open for Darren Clark, who got the job done with one of the most remarkable two putts on 18 to get that done. Sadly for us, Steve, we were on Harrington, weren't we? And he's provided heartbreak 2 weeks in a row now.
Well, this is it. Heartbreak is the theme. I mean, in the Kazoo, of course, we had Jens Dantorp with a great chance, one shot behind going to the final round, never settled, a lot of slice drives early on, and drops away. And then Marcus Kinholt became our main hope. Marcus Kinholt. So we had Dantorp at 70-1, Kinholt at 66-1, and Kinholt looked like he was going to set a really competitive clubhouse lead, didn't he? Until he three putted the last hole. I mean, I was tucking into a curry when he missed that tiddler on the 18th and I nearly choked on my Sagaloo.
Good choice.
I do like a Sagaloo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was going to post 13 under par with the wind was whipping up and that would have put a lot of pressure on those leaders. And in the end, he just missed a tiddler and finished tied third. So, yeah, heartbreak for the Swedes in the Kazoo. And heartbreak for Padraig Harrington. We didn't get the prices in time for the podcast last week, but we tipped Padraig Harrington at 13-2 in the Racing Post. And, again, he set a good clubhouse mark. So he's sitting in the clubhouse at 9 under par and hoping that Darren Clark doesn't birdie the last. But, Clark got the job done with the birdie at the last. And, frustrating business this game at the moment because, we were on Darren Clark for the previous senior major at Firestone. Perhaps should have stuck with him for one of his favourite tournaments. He obviously won the Open in 2011. Now he's won the senior version.
Yeah, and I must say, obviously Harrington was in before Clark, and I don't know, but Klopp never looked convinced. I think it had been a long 4 days for him. His body looked like it was starting to seize up, looked very stiff. There were a few really sort of yippy 4 foot putts on the turn, and I thought, well, here we go. Especially when he had that 2 putt down 18, but it wasn't to be. But Harrington, he's going to win a big one soon, isn't he? Well, he already has, but will go well again.
Yeah. Won the US Senior Open. You know, he's only played in what three senior majors now. I mean, I think he's the man. I think he's the boss of the senior circuit now. He's only 50 years old. You know, as I've spoken before, out of the 50-year-olds to the 51-year-olds, this is the time where they can make merry. So, I'm going to stick with Harrington. We're just a little bit unlucky there.
Absolutely. Let's move on to the Evian, where Brooke Henderson ran out winner there. I must admit, Steve, didn't watch too much of it, but the scenery, oh my goodness, what a stunning place.
Evian Le Bain. Oh. Yeah. I can see you hanging out in Evian Le Bain with that shirt on, doing plenty of damage. I mean, it's a beautiful place, isn't it? Yeah, it was an interesting tournament. Brooke Henderson had a 4-putt in the final round. It looked like she'd blown it, but she steadied the ship, and that's her second major title, and she's only 24. I mean, there's so much fantastic young talent around on the LPGA Tour now. I'm so glad my daughter has switched to tennis. You know, I got her on the golf train, and she switched to tennis now, and I'm glad she has, because such a competitive game to get into now. There's so many great female young golfers out there.
Absolutely. Is she playing on grass or clay or something?
We're not rich enough for grass. She hasn't joined a grass club yet. But yeah,
I didn't know if you sort of mowed your garden in a Wimbledon type centre court look.
It's not big enough. No. We play on the hard courts, and that's where the proper players. Yeah, your Venus Williams, yes, Serena Williams. They grew up on the hard courts, and my daughter would do the same.
Absolutely. One more tournament to review then, and that was the 3M Open over in America, where Tony Finau won. And again, a really nice interview from him after. Quite emotional, wasn't he? Clearly a very talented player. Maybe hasn't got the wins under his belt that many would have expected a few years ago. But seemingly getting over the line with slightly more ease at this stage in his career.
Yeah, that's the PGA Tour hat trick complete for Tony Finau. And that was the only tournament I was just about happy with. But before the tournament started, I was umming and awing over whether to have Finau at 14-1. I decided, given his long journey from Scotland, he could be swerved for the bigger price options. But I quickly realised the error of my ways, because he made a solid start and I got on board at the halfway stage. We tipped him on Golfwise Extra at the halfway stage. Got some 6-1 with 4 each way places at that point. So I was pleased he won, but I was really angry with myself for putting too much stock in the travel. All right? I've made this mistake before. You know, these guys don't travel like us. You know, they travel in absolute luxury. He was as fresh as a daisy, wasn't he, last week, Tony? There was no issue there. And I've fallen into that trap before. I won't make that mistake again. It's actually only an 8-hour flight from Glasgow to Minnesota if you go direct. So it's nothing for these guys. We should have been on pre-tournament, but at least we got on halfway stage. Yeah, Scott Pearson and Emiliano Grillo, such edgy front runners. They both made a triple bogey on Sunday, and Finau took advantage. It was perfect for Finau, wasn't it? Just creeping up and then boom.
No, that was a good plug there, Steve, for Golfwise Extra. If you don't know what that is, then head over to racingpost.com on the sports section. Steve provides pretty much daily updates, isn't there, throughout the week. Tournaments, which is well worth looking at. To this week's tournaments.
It's a triple header.
Let's do it. Yeah, 3 tournaments to get through. A LIV Golf Invitational event as well as the standard tour. So let's start with the Rocket Mortgage Classic, where Patrick Cantlay is your 11-1 favourite. Last week's winner, Tony Finau, 16-1. Will Zalatoris, 16-1. Cameron Young, 20-1. Max Homer, 25-1. Some decent names playing this week, Steve. What can we expect? Where are we at? What's the course like? Let's go for it.
Detroit Golf Club, 7,370 yards, par 72, 4 par 5s. We've had 3 previous Rocket Mortgage Classics all at this track. Donald Ross design, tree-lined fairways, small greens, but meat and drink to the tour pros. Winning scores of 25, 23 and 18 under par. Perfect weather for the whole of this tournament.
Okay, a birdie fest and some course form to go off. How many selections?
4!
Good, I'm glad we started with that. Let's get the main selection for the Rocket Mortgage Classic.
Kevin Kisner, 35-1. Kevin Kisner appears to be back to his best, and his best is extremely good. He's a four-time PGA Tour champion. One of them was a WGC. His most recent victory was last summer in the Wyndham Championship at a Donald Ross Design course. This week's Ross Design is playing firm and fast, great weather in the build-up. That suits Kisner. He likes tracks where there's plenty of run on the ball. He's finished third and eighth in the last two Rocket Mortgage Classics, and his game has come around at a perfect time. He started the year really well. He played great on the Hawaii swing. He finished fourth at Sawgrass. He was runner-up in the match play. Then he had a three-month slump, you know, struggling to make cuts. But sixth place in the Travelers Championship got him back in business. And then last time out, 21st in the Open. So, I made Kevin Kisner the best golf bet of the week.
Was it this Saturday in the Open where he just put the most remarkable string of birdies together?
Yeah, 65. Yeah. Really turned it on. You know, he's a fantastic putter. He can rely on him being accurate. Nate Lashley won this in 2019 with precise approach play. I think we're going to get the same from Kisner this week.
Okay, so a juicy prize main selection in Kevin Kisner for the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Who is up next, Steve?
Next best is Cam Davis at 30-1. You know, we're keeping the faith with the sweet swinging Aussie. From the Masters onwards, played some great golf. Third in the Heritage, seventh at Colonial, eighth in the John Deere, sixth in the Barracuda, then 16th last week in the 3M Open. This week, he's returning to the scene of his greatest triumph. He's the defending champion. I think somebody's going to have to play really well to take the trophy off him. You know, this is a classy youngster who appears to be growing in confidence every week.
Okay, keeping faith in Davis. Good to see. Who's up next?
Another Cameron. Cameron Champ. 66-1, Cameron Champ. He got off to an awful start in the 3M Open last week. There were some really strong winds blowing when the later starters teed off, much to my chagrin. And Champ was 6 over par through 7 holes. And he was still 6 over par through 17 holes. And then he eagled the 18th. And that seemed to really galvanize him because he followed up with rounds of 68, 67 and 67 and finished 16th. He has a remarkable comeback. He looked certainly missed the cut and then finished 16th. We talked about last week about how this player can suddenly produce amazing golf, missing loads of cuts, and then suddenly he's got a trophy in his hands. I think he's going to be really encouraged by the way his game returned last week. He was 13 under par for his final 55 holes. He was 12th in the 2020 Rocket Mortgage Classic. Sticking with the champ.
Okay, good stuff. That leaves one more for the Rocket Mortgage Classic. You've had a sip of your fizz stick, expecting passion behind this one, Steve.
You're going to get it. It's Ricky Fowler.
Wow, okay.
90-1. 90-1 available about Ricky Fowler. I'm going to give him another go. You get lots of stick for tipping Ricky Fowler these days. A lot of people think he's gone at the game forever, but you know, he's a 5-time PGA Tour champion, 6-time if you include the Hero World Challenge. He's a former world number one amateur. He's a former world number four professional. He's won the Players' Championship. He's had a top three finish in each of the four majors. Yeah, there's a reason we keep an eye on these juicy prices about Fowler because his CV is hugely impressive and he's only 33. You know, I'm not going to give up on a 33-year-old.
Fowler's 33?
Yeah, he's still, really? If he can rediscover anything close to his A game in this sort of company... Yes, a low-grade event this week. Yeah, you would have a chance, wouldn't he? So there have been encouraging signs lately. I know his confidence has taken a hit. He's outside the top 150 of the world rankings at the moment, but little signs of life lately. Maybe this is the event where he revives his career. He tied with Champ for 12th place in that 2020 Rocket Mortgage.
I think there's something in that as well, Steve, in terms of golf is quite a unique sport. There's someone at my golf club who says golf's like riding a bike. You never quite... lose it. It's always there. A bit of muscle memory. So hopefully this is the week that Fowler gets back on the bike, so to say.
Form is temporary. Form is temporary. Class is permanent. It wasn't that long ago he was playing fantastic golf.
Yeah, absolutely. Should we move on to the Hero Open?
Yes. Yeah. I like the Hero Open. Yes.
Let's do that. Me too. It feels like a good named tournament, the Hero Open. And Ryan Fox is your fairly short price favourite, 11-1. Richie Ramsey, 22-1. Adrian Ategi, 22-1. Oliver Becker, 25-1. Romain Langasque, 25-1. So some familiar faces in here. I feel like I hear more about Ryan Fox than my family in recent months. He's always there or thereabouts, isn't he? And so's the likes of Becker and Langasque, who I know you're a big fan of, Steve. How many selections for this one?
We got 6 and lots of big prizes. Yeah, it's unusual for me to have that many, but we got some big prizes, yeah.
Okay, so let's get the first of six underway.
Well, I just got you through the track because a lot of people
right.
can fall into the trap of getting excited that we're back at the old course at St Andrews, but of course we're at Fairmont St Andrews.
Yes.
So it's just down the road. We are in Fife, but we're at the Torrance course, Fairmont St Andrews, 7,230 yards, par 72, four par fives, and it staged the one-off 2020 Scottish Championship during COVID times. We just threw in a random one there. And then it took over as the Hero Open venue last year. So 2 years of course form to go on. It's a links with some inland holes. And it's very, very easy for the professionals. If you stay out of the pot bunkers, you should make loads of birdies this week if it stays calm. And the forecast is that there's not much serious winter.
That's the main thing, isn't it? Weather forecast. No sort of draw bias or anything to look at?
No. Most of the wind's Saturday, I think it was. The first 2 days are fine.
Okay, let's get the main selection.
Main selection, sweet spot regular, Hurley Long. Hurley Long, 30-1, slowly but surely he's become a DP World Tour contender. And he took full advantage of those two events which were co-sanctioned with the PGA Tour recently. Were you following them? He was fourth in the Barbasol Championship.
Yeah, going well. Yeah.
He was fourth in the Barbasol Championship. Great effort. Seventh in the Barracuda Championship. He's going to take so much confidence from that. I mean, he played college golf well in the States, so he wasn't frightened by those stateside missions. He famously broke the course record at Pebble Beach in his college days. Now this week he's teeing up at another coastal track as a very, very lively runner. He's had six top tens this year. He won on the Challenge Tour in 2020. I think he's ready to win on the main circuit. He got four rounds in at Fairmont in 2020. He finished 51st. But that's a useful side, so I think he'll relish in this. Yeah, he's just bursting with confidence at the moment, Hurley Long.
Did I read somewhere that Hurley isn't actually his name?
I think there's a few people on this planet who like to adopt their middle names, isn't there? I've got a feeling it might be his middle name, and his first name is Christopher.
Okay, that was slightly disappointing, because that feels like such a strong first name, Hurley, doesn't it?
It does. Some people just go for their middle name instead, don't they?
What would you be instead of Steve?
John, your middle
John.
Name is
John. Okay, fine. That works, doesn't it? Yeah, that works. That could be your stage name if everything takes off.
Very much so, John.
Hurley Long up first. Who next?
Marcus Helikilder. 40-1, Marcus Helikilder. Another DP World Tour player who enjoyed a fresh injection of self-belief from those two co-sanctioned events I mentioned. Helikilder was eighth in the Barbasol, 13th in the Barracuda. He won three times on the Challenge Tour last year. He's only 25. My main two tips in this, you could argue they're lacking links experience. You know, Helikilder's making his course debut this week, but Fairmont is one of the most straightforward links assignments you'll ever get in calm weather, which we're going to get for the most part this week. Yeah, I think the fact that Long and Helikilder are playing so well counts for more than anything.
Is this week's track is going to be as firm as what we saw at the Open, or is it slightly softer?
No, it'd be the similar sort of terrain. Yeah, it'd be similar sort of terrain. But I think it was five players finished 20 under par or better in the last edition.
Wow.
This is an absolute birdie fest. Yeah, it's not like you're going to have to turn up and learn about the subtleties of Fairmont St Andrews. It just isn't that sort of track. So Hurley Long and Marcus Helikilder, not got much course experience, not got much links experience, but just playing fantastic golf. You put them anywhere in the world at the moment, I think they'll play good golf.
Oh, excellent. That's good. That's good to hear. Two fairly big price selections early on, Steve. Are we going in a similar fashion onwards?
Yep, onwards and upwards all the way. Brandon Stone is the next one, 66-1. A class act at 66-1. He's dropped a few hints lately that he's getting back to his best. He was fifth in the European Open, 15th in the BMW International. Missed the cut on the mark in the Scottish Open last time out, which is why we're getting a juicy price. I was on the wrong side of a draw bias there and only one shot shy. Don't worry about that. The biggest win of Brandon Stone's career came on a low-scoring Scottish links. You might remember that one. I always test Bruce's memory. I think you've got a stronger memory.
What year are we going with here? I haven't heard of that.
That was 2018 Scottish Open. He nearly shot 59 in the final round and ended up card in a 60. Emphatic victory on a low-scoring Scottish links. I think he's well-suited to Fairmont. And he's had one visit and he finished 16th in 2020. So, yeah, massive danger man, Brandon Stone.
Okay, Brandon Stone. Who next?
Scott Jamieson, same price, 66-1. Richie Ramsey probably inspired all the Scots on Sunday. Scott Jamieson is a year younger than Richie Ramsey. They grew up playing amateur golf together. They've been European Tour mainstays ever since. Jamieson, well capable of following his mate into the winner's enclosure. Jameson won the Weather Shorten Nelson Mandela Championship in 2012. He's had 10 top three finishes on the DP World Tour. One of them came in the Scottish Open. He missed the cut by a shot at Fairmont last year. Don't worry about that. He was in terrible form at the time. This time, much more confident. Ended last year well. He's had three top tens this year. Last time out, 22nd in the Barracuda.
Another compelling argument there, Steve. Lubricate the vocal cords for yet another selection.
Lucas Bejerigard. 125 to 1. Lucas Bejerigard has precious little form to recommend him this year. He's really struggled, but it was the same story last year until he finished 10th in the Hero Open at Fairmont St. Andrews. He carded a Friday 62, fell in love with the track, and then he picked up a couple of other healthy checks and retained his tour card. Really emotional scenes in Portugal when he finished second there. So can the same thing happen again? Entirely feasible. You know, Bejerigard is top class on his day. It's easy to forget how good he is. Two-time tour champion. One of them was in the Dunhill Links at St. Andrews. He was fourth in the 2019 WGC match play. Beat a certain Tiger Woods that week. He had a top 25 finish in all three in three majors in 2019. He had a top 25 finish. You know, we're talking about a player with an A game that's, you know, capable of beating the best players ever lived. So I'm willing to take a chance on him at a massive price on a course that suits, even though there's no form in the book.
Not too many people that have beaten Tiger over an 18 holes, is there? Is that five sections or is that the full six?
No, no, one last hurrah, and that is Daniel Hillier, who is also 125 to 1. Two-time winner of the New Zealand Amateur Championship. Beautiful swing, effortless power. I think he's going to have a great career. He turns 24 today, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday, absolutely. Daniel.
I think he might have a trophy to go with his birthday cake on Sunday. He won on the Challenge Tour last year, four top tens on the Challenge Tour this year. He was 23rd in the Hero Open at Fairmont last year. Yeah, I think he's good enough to get in the mix at a fancy price.
What better birthday present than being tipped up on the sweet spot? I mean, that's life peaking right there, isn't it?
It is, yeah. No, he's going to be a hero for us in the Hero Open. We need a hero.
We need
a hero.
We do indeed.
Sing it with me, Jay.
I think this week, you know what? I woke up this morning and I thought, this week feels good. I've got real faith in your selections this week.
Yeah, I feel pretty sharp this week. I must admit, I mean, when the majors are over, I get that sort of burst of relief that the majors are over because they're quite challenging at times. So I do feel like, yeah, I could have a strong fall, as the Americans call it.
It's summer holidays as well, isn't it? Are you keeping the kids occupied?
They were very, very noisy in the garden just before our broadcast, and I told my lady wife that they had to leave the properties.
You barred from their own house.
Yeah, they are now currently at the park.
Oh, excellent. Very good indeed. One more tournament to preview for all of you LIV Golf fans. We're going over to Bedminster for this week's Invitational, where Dustin Johnson is your 11-2 favourite. Louis Oosthuizen, 12-1. Taylor Gooch, 12-1. Bryson DeChambeau, similar price. Lots of kind of similar price at the top of the market. I'm going to admit, Steve, my appetite for this is very little, but I'm hoping that you will maybe put some excitement into me.
I'll put some excitement into you. Yeah, 7 p.m. on YouTube.
They're still going for YouTube, are they? Okay.
It's a Friday start. Yeah, Friday, Saturday and Sunday night, 7 p.m. until late. Yeah, the shotgun start. You know, it's all there for you. We're at the old course. I'll trick you. Yeah, we could have a lot of confusion. Everyone thinks we're at the old course for the Hero, and this one's called the old course. But it's not the most famous old course at St. Andrews. It is the old course at Trump National Golf Club, Bedminster, New Jersey. And it's a long old track, 7,721 yards.
Wow.
Par 72, four par fives. Usual LIV Golf rules apply. 48 runners, no cut, 54 holes. And the winner takes home enough money to buy Buckingham Palace.
These shotgun starts just remind me of sort of, you know, Captain's Day at your local public course.
Yeah,
where, you know, there's a halfway house and everyone's just there for a bit of a jolly. It just all feels still very amateur, this.
That's like my favourite bit of it, though, the shotgun style. Yeah, you know how het up I get about draw biases, and the fact that there's no draw bias to these shotgun starts, I do like that. You can bet, you know, strange thing to say, but you can bet with more confidence on the LIV Golf stuff in many ways, because you know there's going to be no problems over the first two rounds.
Fair enough. And how many selections for this, Steve?
We've got three.
Okay, take it away.
And the number one selection is Patrick Reed at 18-1, who I think has turned a corner recently. He's got his equipment sorted. He's happy being a free agent again, picking the clubs which suit him best. And he's absolutely buzzing with being part of this LIV Golf. He says it feels like a fresh start. He was a very controversial character on the PGA Tour. He's fallen in love with the whole LIV Golf vibe. He turned up at St. Andrews. You must have seen him in full LIV Golf kit. You know, he wasn't frightened. And he was superb on his LIV Golf debut. He finished third in the Portland event, improved his score in each round. Two good rounds from four in the Open Championship. He closed with a 67. He got very big greens at this course this week. So Reed's putting ability stands him in great stead. Yeah, I think Reed is the value choice.
Okay, so we're at the old course with big greens. There's definite confusion to be had here, isn't there? Yeah. Patrick Reed, the number one pick for LIV Golf. How about number two?
I mean, Donald Trump obviously owns this track, and I think the Trump family cemetery is next door to this as well. So that's where the confusion ends. This is definitely not the old course at St. Andrews. There's no Trump family buried
that we're aware of.
The next best, Matthew Wolf. Oh, okay. Worked on that for a while. I can't remember the last time I tipped him. 30-1, Matthew Wolf. Another man who needed that fresh start. You know, his PGA Tour career had stalled, didn't it? He got that early win in 2019. Then he was runner-up in the 2020 US Open, but then he lost his way. He's obviously loaded with talent. I think maybe the guaranteed prize money you get at LIV Golf will take a bit of pressure off him. You know, there's no cut. You're always going to get a juicy check. And this week's track should really suit him. You know, sets up for long drivers. You know, wide fairways. Massive ballpark this, and you know, Matt Wolf can really send his ball. His last four rounds have been encouraging. He signed off from the PGA Tour with a Sunday 66 in the Travelers, and then he finished eighth on his LIV Golf debut. Good effort. Yeah, Wolf showing some signs.
I was slightly confused then, because I was looking down at the list of players I've got here on a competitor's website, and they've spelled Wolf's surname in a way I've never seen before. Wolfe. That's not how you spell it, is it?
No. Double E at the end of Wolf. Yeah. Double F.
So we are sticking with the original Wolf. Good stuff. Who's third place on the list, Steve?
The final selection is 600-1 as we speak. 600-1, James Pyatt, who I think is being massively underrated in the betting. Yeah, one firm makes him the outsider of the party. I mean, he won the US Amateur Championship last year. He's only 23, got bundles of scope for improvement. That US Amateur Championship win came at Oakmont, which is a Tom Fazio renovation. Tom Fazio renovated Oakmont. This week's track is a Tom Fazio design. Pyatt only missed the cut in the US Open by one shot last month. I was really quite impressed with how he carried himself in that US Open. He was playing with John Rahm and Colin Morikawa for the first two rounds, and he opened up with a 69 in that illustrious company. I mean, that's it. That was one heck of a round, and that was the round which made me think this player's got a big old future. He matched the scores of Rahm and Morikawa in round one of the US Open playing with him. And in that last LIV Golf event in Portland, he closed with a 69 for 22nd spot. Only two players in that field outscored him in the final round in that LIV Golf Portland event. So I think that Pyatt is settling into his new career on this LIV Golf circuit, and I think he might be ready to show how good he is. I mean, he's no 600-1 chance for me. I mean, my online written preview of this tournament may be published just before this podcast goes out, so that 600-1 may come under a bit of pressure. But there's 500-1s out there. There's loads of 300-1s. Yeah, you know, I wouldn't want to lay him at 80-1, because he's got so much scope for massive improvement this week. And remember, there's only 47 players against him. You know, you've got to really be on the hunt for each way money with these small field events. You know, five or six places up for grabs. I think at 600-1 is just a really exciting bet.
I was then about to say small field. Yeah, I'm seeing, you know, six places with certain firms. And what do you say? 47 players. It's
yeah.
Interesting.
This is a player. He could just take off at any moment. And yeah, this could be the week, and you'll be on enormous prizes.
Absolutely. Well, I think we're done previewing this week's tournament, Steve. I love that the docket of selections you've provided. Anything else to say?
Well, we'll reiterate the tips just in case anyone missed them. We've got 13 tips, and we unlucky 13. So,
how would you recommend people playing them if they want interest across all three events?
Well, I think the most exciting thing for me is a large each way treble, isn't it? Okay. Yeah, that's what I like to do. And this week the face spitter, as we like to call it, Kevin Kisner, Hurley Long, and Patrick Reed. Okay. That comes to about 19,000 to 1.
That would pay for sort of half a tank of diesel or something.
You can really get the job done on that when depending on your stake. I mean, that really excites me when I see a 19,000 to 1 chance about something that I think is going to happen.
Worth reiterating, it probably won't happen, but just in case it does. Just take us through all 13 selections really quickly then, Steve.
Rocket Mortgage Classic. Kevin Kisner, Cam Davis, Cameron Champ, Ricky Fowler. Hero Open, Hurley Long, Marcus Helikilder, Brandon Stone, Scott Jameson, Lucas Bejerigard, Daniel Hillier. Sorry, he's not French. I don't know why.
It's going so well.
Daniel Hillier from New Zealand. And Liv Golf Bedminster, Patrick Reed, Matthew Wolf, and James Pyatt.
Excellent. That's very exciting. What are the plans for the rest of this week then, Steve? Because I think we're still in a heat wave. Are you getting attacked by a wasp?
Yeah, immediate plans is not to get bitten by this wasp. How's that got in?
It's you know what it's going for, the fizz stick.
Yeah, it might be the fizz stick, mightn't it? Yeah, I'm in huge, huge peril here. I haven't got big plans. Just going to watch that 19,000 to 1 chance win. Can you see the wasp?
I can see. It looks like quite a juicy one, yeah.
Okay.
Well, look, as always, try and avoid death. That's always a good starting point. And I hope whatever else you're up to goes well, Steve. Pleasure to speak to you as always.
Cheers, lads. Cheers, Jack. Good luck, guys.
See you later. Bye.